We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. By now, you know that I am half of the team, Kel Dansby.
Yep, and this is Andreas Hale.
And today, we are bringing you the latest in MMA, boxing, pro wrestling, and hip-hop. We're going to talk a little bit about Manny Pacquiao and his stance on gay marriage.
Animals. They're animals, man. They're worse than animals.
We're going to preview WWE Fastlane. We're going to talk about NJPW, yes, they're still on the map, and we're going to talk a little bit about boxing, but first we got to get to Kanye West.
Well, yeah, we could talk about Kanye. We could talk about Kanye.
He dropped the album.
What'd you think?
I like the album. I think that it's a little bit, I guess, overhyped just because the expectations were low. Mm-hmm. So I'm not knocking the album. It's good. It's solid. It's maybe his top five albums of all time. It's not College Dropout. It's not Graduation. It's not, you know, Dark Fantasy. But with that being said, it's better than we all thought it would be. It has its really high points. Ultralight Beam is incredible. Chance, yep. So I can bless that.
Yep.
Kendrick blessed it with a great verse. And in between those, you know, Kanye spit some real stuff. So the production level is high. I like the album.
I think his lyrics are trash on this album.
He doesn't have a ghostwriter.
But I'm just saying, like, I think, like, when his highs are really high, like, Ultralight Beam is a phenomenal song. It shows you that he's a composer. He knows how to put things together. And it's funny because it's the best song on the album, but it's the least that we hear of Kanye on the entire album.
Yeah, we just want to listen to Chance.
Yeah, Chance and Kelly Price and The Dream. Like that song is dope. But then, like, Father Stretch My Hands, for instance. Like, I was like, yo, this is dope. Metro Boomin with
a
dope
beat. Is that Cudi on there?
Yeah, Cudi's on there.
Oh, Cudi kills that shit.
But then Kanye opens a verse about bleached assholes, and I'm like, yo, there's a fine line between being funny and corny, and Kanye is very corny on this album. He says a lot of, like, the whole Ray J line, the Taylor Swift line. Like, I just feel like he has nothing else to talk about but himself. And when he gets introspective, that's when he's dope. Like, Real Friends, and when he talks about himself, well, not himself, but things that we can relate to.
30 minutes. That's why I like 30 minutes.
30 hours?
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Or 30 hours, excuse me. 30 hours is like a throwback, like talking about his old girlfriend and everything. Yeah. Like, I like that.
Yeah,
that's
but
cool.
When he's talking, when he's just kind of yelling, like, yo.
At the end of 30 hours, by the way, he just lets it ride out.
Yeah.
And it's just like 3 Ks, 2 words, and then that was it.
Between that and him on SNL and how he said the album's out now, like, yo, Kanye's on drugs. I'm going to say it every week. It's clear that Kanye's on something. The album's decent. It's better than Yeezus to me, but it's
better than Yeezus. I mean, Blood on the Leaves is probably the only
real
long-lasting
yeah,
thing from Yeezus.
But it doesn't crack any of my top Kanye albums. Like, it's not better than
it's top five. I mean, it's right behind those that I listed. I mean, I like 808s. Maybe a little bit better than this.
I like
808s. Last on their list.
Yeah, I like
Kaz. It. We need to get Kaz back on the show. I don't know what the hell Kaz is doing.
I mean, like 808s, I love Streetlights. I think Streetlights is a phenomenal song. I think he has some great moments on that. Sure, it's not like lyrically adept, but this album, it felt like a lot of it felt unfinished. Like
I said that this is his best on his verse on the LA joint with Kendrick.
Oh, No More Parties in LA?
No More Parties in LA is his best verse since probably Graduation.
Nah, he had better verses on
Beautiful Dark. Spitting on this.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, there were great moments on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
By him?
Yes.
Or by features?
No.
That sticks out to me because it was also feature heavy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was just more polished. This just felt really unfinished. Like, it felt like he was clearly, like, putting this together the last minute. It's not going to win Grammy the Album of the Year, okay?
No, he doesn't have to
chill with that. Like, if I had to get, like, my official review will be out probably tomorrow. I'm giving it, like, a 3.5. Like, it's not
That's
even,
not bad.
No, it's not bad. Like, it's listenable, but for Kanye
quality.
What'd
you give
Yeezus? Yeezus was trash to me. I gave it, like, a 2. I thought it was just garbage, in my opinion. There's people that
he killed Pitchfork for giving him a shitty rating.
So. Yo, I said it on my Twitter. Like, Kanye's like, oh, white people can't talk about it. Like, yo, you never hit me. I gave you 5 mics. I never got a phone call. So you've been running into these publications for years trying to get interviews. And now you want to shun them? Like, forget Kanye.
Yo, that's crazy. Like, his Twitter rants are better than the album, though.
His Twitter rants mean he's
asking Zuckerberg for dough.
$1 billion?
$1 billion. Like,
all right.
Like, it was 10. Like, yo, let me hold that.
I'm just saying, of all people, Mark Zuckerberg. You. And then the best place you can ask Mark Zuckerberg for money, the guy who runs Facebook, you ask him on Twitter. Is that something wrong with that? That's like me going to a UFC ring asking for a match with Brock Lesnar in the WWE. Like, yo, go to Facebook and ask Zuckerberg for money. Why are you on Twitter asking Zuckerberg for money?
It makes no sense.
It's Kanye. He makes no sense.
But, I mean, he's doing all this to drum up press for the album, and it's working. Yeah. He's the best internet troll there is, man.
He is, but I don't even know if he's trolling anymore.
Kardashian blueprint. Everything makes money.
So I'm just over Kanye. Like, I don't even want to talk about him. Let's talk about the Grammys. How about that?
Yeah, the Grammys were cool. You were covering them.
Yeah, I was in Grammy hell this week. Between, like, all the articles I had to do, I had to cover both the rap and the R&B field. Just disappointed Kendrick didn't win Album of the Year.
He didn't have Album of the Year. I understand, like, people's feelings on being disappointed, which was cool. I mean, he didn't have my number one hip-hop album of the year.
Yeah, but nobody listens to you, though.
But, I mean, if people are completely objective and go by the music of it, A$AP Rocky probably had Album of the Year.
Oh, God.
His album's way more diverse.
What? Musically?
Musically diverse.
Like, come on, man. Come on.
No, I'm dead serious.
There ain't
I'm
no real
honest.
Instruments played on it. And A$AP, his album is great. Don't get me wrong.
LSD is like a straight throwback to an 80s rock song. If that came out in the 80s, it'd be a classic. Oh,
all right, let's move on.
Do you understand? Like,
yo, I'm
Kanye,
never going to agree with you on this.
You're not.
A$AP's
album
is better than Kendrick's.
Album is better than Kendrick Lamar's album.
That's wild. That is crazy.
And then also, Big Sean probably top to bottom had a better hip-hop album than Kendrick Lamar.
And
so Kendrick Lamar would come in third for me for last year. And then Taylor Swift's album was actually very good.
Come on,
I'm not
her
a fan of
album.
Taylor Swift. She's had amazing albums.
Okay.
So she's beat out Beyonce on an amazing album.
Do you think she deserved that?
I think when she won Video of the Year and Kanye spazzed out off of the Hennessy, I thought it was very close. Beyonce danced her ass off in Single Ladies, but I thought Taylor Swift told an amazing story in her video, and she had like the brace face. And she was like two girls at the same time. That shit was dope to me. So yes, she deserved Video of the Year.
Wow.
So I don't care if I'm black, green, Martian, you know, albino, whatever it may be. I can judge stuff off of what it is. And it's told a story. Beyonce just danced her ass off, and which is great. And I appreciate that. But Taylor Swift had a kind of board to it. It told a story. It was like watching Not Another Teen Movie or I don't know, any one of the teen movies I grew up with in the 90s. It was like a throwback, and she brought that feel to her music video. So I understand. It has a story. So if they want to give her Video of the Year, they did. And now her album, front to back, was great. There was no skips. Kendrick Lamar, I skip a lot on that album.
Yeah,
I've listened to it three times.
You are bugging. Taylor Swift just won the Driving Miss Daisy Award, right? Driving Miss Daisy, be Do the Right Thing in 89. Everybody's going to remember Kendrick Lamar's album. Nobody's going to be talking about Taylor Swift's album in 5 years. Nobody.
I mean, that's cool because his message was great, and I agree with that. I've been saying that the whole time. His message was transcendent. His cover was transcendent. His performance was transcendent. You don't have a bunch of people with shackles on the Grammys every day. Like, that shit never happens, except right. If you're Michael Jackson. But obviously, it's like that was an amazing moment for black culture, for hip-hop culture, and I appreciate that. But I can remove myself from that situation and say, hey, yo, Taylor Swift's album was probably better than yours. I'm not going to lie.
Crazy. All right. Taylor Swift's album's not even better than Alabama Shakes' album. Who Alabama Shakes had the...
I got to listen to this Alabama Shakes' album. And you might have a great case. It should have won that.
Alabama... No, Kendrick's album should have won.
It's not transcendingly good.
Just used the wrong word. Transcendingly good is exactly what Kendrick Lamar's album is.
It's not. It didn't set hip-hop ahead light years.
It didn't?
It did not.
What's the most talked about album this year?
It was most controversial. Do you want to go most
controversial?
What's
the most talked about album this year? It's not even controversy.
What is the best music? What are we discussing?
Did Adele shout out Kendrick?
What is the criteria then? So is it most talked about? Is
lyrics,
it most gossiped about?
Music, like musicality.
Musically.
Like, there was live instrumentation all throughout the album.
It was great. It was good production.
Good?
It's not his best album.
Oh, my God. All right, we're going to kill this conversation.
It's not. Taylor probably wins it. I'm not saying that it's a landslide. I'm not saying that you can't give Kendrick the album. because you can, and that's cool. But people are acting like it's Pacquiao Bradley. It's not Pacquiao Bradley. It's not a farce.
It's
debatable.
Taylor Swift's 1989 is driving Miss Daisy.
1989 is an incredible album.
Incredible?
Incredible album.
It's good. It's a good Taylor Swift album. I covered it. I reviewed it. It's a good. I'm very objective when it comes to Taylor Swift. It's not her best album.
I'm not doubting that. You're not very objective when it comes to Kendrick Lamar.
I am. I can tell you if there's songs that I don't like from Kendrick's album, but the facts remain that Kendrick had the best, most transcendent album this year. Easy.
He had a great message musically. I'm not sure if it's there. I'm not mad if Kendrick would have won it. Props to him. It's a great statement. But if he didn't win it, I wasn't going to be mad either because Taylor had an amazing album. Why can't both of their albums be great? And it was a toss-up.
But we're talking about the Grammy for Best Album of the Year should be.
They need to do this shit like they do the Heisman. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see how close the votes were. Yeah. I want to see what set it apart because then that hushes the critics. Because we don't know if it's a landslide. We don't know if he got robbed. It could have been 3 votes swinging it. It could have been a 12-hour conversation between the committee, and then it comes down, we got to choose someone. I'm just saying, but it could have been close.
Kendrick Lamar had the best album this year.
I don't know.
Period. He had the best album. Just like when Do the Right Thing, when Spike Lee lost for Do the Right Thing, there were people that were like,
"Do the Right Thing is amazing."
Well, but it took all that time. Like, Do the Right Thing will be studied in college. It's being studied in college courses. Nobody's talking about Driving Miss Daisy. Kendrick's album will be discussed.
Driving Miss Daisy was a good
Driving
movie, too.
Miss Daisy was not a good movie.
It wasn't.
It was decent. Let's be real. Like, if you watch that movie,
it wasn't better than Do the Right Thing.
Not even close.
No.
Like, not even close. But you don't remember these things, right? So that's all I'm saying.
We had way less of a voice back then, though. I mean, that's.
But that's what I'm saying. Very different. For Do the Right Thing, dude. Like, I mean, Spike's been robbed twice. Malcolm X.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Denzel not winning for Malcolm X and Al Pacino winning for Son of a Woman.
But people now, like. Now for people to say that our voice is being stifled, like, hip-hop runs the Grammys now.
They did it with one album of the year.
It's not 1990, though. Like, we're not fighting to get in there. Like, my man, we run it. We had half of the performances with hip-hop and R&B.
Yeah, but
These are our people on stage. Like, we are taking over.
We win our category. We win Rap Album of the Year.
He's being nominated for Album of the Year. He's probably second.
Kanye's been nominated for Album of the Year and lost. What's the last hip-hop album that won Album of the Year?
Outkast.
Speaker Box, Love Below. Why did the album win Album of the Year, though? Not because of Speaker Box.
No,
because
Love Below. Because Andre went very different and
before
very
Before that, who won Hip Album of the Year, a rapper?
Did we get one before that?
Lauryn Hill.
Oh, that album, which was a phenomenal album ever.
But my point is, we've never had a pure rap album win Album of the Year.
Lauren's damn near close.
And Kanye should have won.
Yeah, I mean,
Kanye should have won. For
I'll give you
album.
That.
You know, it's the Grammys. The guy still got to look at the voting committee. Just got to look at the Oscars. So it is what it is. You know.
But this year, I don't think it was a farce. Granted, you want to give it to Kendrick? I understand that. And I think people voted for him. But for people to say it's a robbery, it's not a robbery, man. Taylor did her thing. And I can't be mad at her.
All right.
You don't got to get up on stage with your Hennessy bottle.
Well, no, I mean.
With zigzags in your hair, you know. Like, it wasn't that bad.
It's your boy Kanye. So let's talk what we came here to talk about. Because we got a little short show this week. I want to actually start off talking about Ronda Rousey's revelation that she was close to committing. She thought about committing suicide after losing to Holly Holm.
Yeah, that's that was rough to hear. I'm not gonna lie. Like, Ronda is a very nice person.
She is.
I've been around Ronda. Obviously, we both have interviewed her several times. I wrote an editorial about it today. We've all probably written think pieces about it already.
Of course,
if not to come. And it's kind of sad to see her going through this because she was a great champion. She has everything inside of her to be a great champion again. But mentally, it seems like she's broken. And this was confirmation to that. We've hinted towards it. We thought it was the case. She came and she hid herself in the airport, like shrouded. Right. And we all thought of this. We never wanted to assume and go this far with her killing herself. But she's now revealed that she wanted to. She got so wrapped up in the hype. It's the UFC. Like, people lose. GSP lost. GSP got knocked out. He got finished.
Yeah.
He didn't get knocked out, but he was finished.
Yeah.
He came back and won a title. He still won a best ever. It happens. Get over it and move on. She just doesn't seem to be able to do that, and it's sad, man. It really is.
It's funny because if you read her book, she talks about how hard she took her losses in judo, which is very similar to what she's doing now. She puts a lot of pressure on herself to win. And it's dangerous when you put that much pressure on yourself. But the part that really got to me was the reason why she pulled herself out of that by looking at Travis Brown.
Which is weird. I'm not going to lie. I felt uncomfortable.
What if Travis wasn't there? Or what happens today, because Travis cheated on his wife for you, what happens when Travis finds him some new booty? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you gonna contemplate suicide? Like, you can't hinge your future on some man.
Yeah, and she wants to have babies and all that, which is cool. I mean, that's life goals.
Yeah, that's. I mean, her father committed suicide too, which is another eerie thing. It's
which
like
is trippy. So, like, that you think about that.
That's
is,
not. The, but that's not the first thing that came to your mind when you said I'm gonna commit suicide. Well, my dad did, Travis Brown. It's just a little bit. It's concerning for me with Ronda. She's very fragile.
Their kid might be like the best MMA kid in history, by the way. That's like large family breeding. Like, if they have a daughter, she's going to be the best UFC fighter in UFC history.
She should.
But, like, with that being said, it's an odd way to pull yourself out. It just reminds me that she's gone, man. Like, that's it. Like, your thought to pull you out of suicide isn't, I have a chance to come and redeem myself. I can get the belt back. I can be a fighter. Whatever it may be. I beat everyone else in the division. It's one night. I worked a lot, whatever it may be. That wasn't her first thought. It was to come and have babies with this guy who's standing on top of you. You're gone. Just go have babies. Don't come back. Like, that's, she doesn't want to fight.
That's my concern. It's like, well, here's my thing. Here's what I think. Personally, I feel like everything that Ronda's saying now, she'll be fine by the time she's ready to fight again.
Okay.
But the problem is when will she be ready to fight again? You know, it's like, I think once she gets back into camp, but she has to shake everything that she's going through first and come into camp with a clear head. She's not clear yet. You know, she's still kind of dealing with a lot of mental issues, and the loss is really devastating. But like Brock Lesnar was like, you know, you lose. Like, this is MMA. Nobody goes undefeated. You know, it's like, unless you're Floyd Mayweather, nobody goes undefeated in boxing. Rocky Marciano, like, it's very, the possibility of going undefeated is slim to none.
We really don't see that in the UFC, especially.
Nobody, who's gone undefeated?
No, like, it's just, what I'm saying. It's the like, gloves are 10-ounce gloves. You're not going undefeated with that. Someone's going to catch you.
Yeah, something's going to happen. But it's how, you know, it's all like why Muhammad Ali is always considered the greatest. It's how he pulled himself up from losing. The fight with Frazier, I mean, he got demolished with the left hook and got himself up off the canvas. That's what a lot of people remember. Ronda, she got to get up, and no man should have be there is be the reason why you get up. And maybe she said that because she was on Ellen. I have no idea, because sometimes you just say things and be like, damn, why'd I say that?
Yeah.
But I do feel like she's putting a lot of stock in Travis Brown, who's he's just a guy right now.
I had to do edits on my article earlier, and I wrote, you know, an editorial comparing Ronda's career to Tyson's career for Black Sports Online, and it's up there. And I had to do, like, you know, second and third edits on it. And I ended up taking out a piece where I was talking about the Ronda pity tour. Just because it seemed insensitive. You know, she's talking about suicide and everything like that. I sourced a 1988 article in New York Times where Tyson tried to commit suicide, supposedly, allegedly.
Right.
And they interviewed him about committing suicide and driving into a wall or something. And it seemed insensitive for the article. But so I had to take it out. But it's crazy because it seems like a pity tour. Like, I can talk about it. It's our podcast now. Like, she did the ESPN joint. It's now coming out that she's revealing that she was suicidal and everything. It's like, okay, you got pulled out because of your man and all this stuff. Like, why now? Why are you saying these things? Why was it that? The timing is just odd. And it seems like we're supposed to be on this Ronda Rousey sympathy tour. And it's like, you're a fighter. You signed up for this. You don't sign up to be a fighter because you're always going to win. You sign up for a fighter because you know you may lose, and you're good enough to win. That's it. So I don't feel pity for her. This is what happens when you're in the UFC. This is what happens when your division is actually competitive. Sorry, Ronda, it wasn't competitive for a long time. Now you actually got to fight for what you want.
Like, it's hard when somebody, because there are other fighters who are probably sitting there right now going, I felt like killing myself too when I lost the fight. Like, it's not abnormal to feel that way when you lose a fight. But to vocalize it and express yourself in, you know, and being so hard on yourself, it's very dangerous territory because you're proven to be fragile. And somebody like Holly Holm, when they ask her, she's like, what am I supposed to say about that? Am I supposed to feel bad for whooping her ass? Like, like I can't.
Knock her ass out again.
Yeah, it's like, I'm a competitor. This is what I do. Like, Ronda's going to have to redeem herself. She's got to be competitive. It's just, I hated, like, you know, I ran a story on Yahoo, and it ended up being the number one story on Yahoo, period. 3,000 comments. Because Ronda's that much of a magnet to people. But all the comments, like, I very rarely look at comments on my articles because people say stupid shit.
Yeah.
But I'm reading the comments, and it's like, there's not a positive comment about Ronda in here. Everybody's just trashing her.
I mean, that's sad. And but, you know, outside of her domestic violence stuff with Floyd and me thinking that it's kind of hypocrisy on her point, you know, you're with a guy accused of domestic violence, whether, you know, he's been convicted or not, like, he's been associated with it.
Right.
So if you're that hard against it, you wouldn't be with this guy. So everyone deserves a second chance, or everyone deserves to explain themselves. She didn't give Floyd that chance. So I found that hypocritical. But outside of that, you know, Ronda's a very great person.
She is. I've talked to her for years. She's a wonderful person.
Great person. And, the bad girl image is kind of more the persona. She has to sell fights. Yes. She has to ramp it up. She has a little bit of an edge. She's confident, which is cool.
Right.
And I want her to bounce back. She's great for the sport. She's great for women's MMA. If she lost, cool. She's still good enough. Come and take two or three more fights with the girls you already beat. Beat them again, and then come get your title. That'd be the greatest way to go about it, because she'd still drive traffic to the sport. If she was fighting, you know, a month away from Holly, if she decided to take a fight next month against someone else, fight someone you already bought, you know, you already fought already, you know, someone you beat, go ahead, get another win, drum up interest for 200, or when you come back in the spring, or maybe the fall if it takes longer
it's
than
like
that.
It's like November at this point.
November?
Yeah.
Yikes. Well, whenever you may come back, that would have been great. She just handled it very weird, man. Like, I don't know why she's out of it, and she's out of it mentally. So hopefully she bounces back. She's great for the sport. It's just an odd situation.
Yeah, speaking of other odd situations, Manny Pacquiao.
Ah.
What an odd situation this is.
Bye-bye to Nike.
Yeah, so Manny Pacquiao, for those who, I guess, have been living under a rock, went and said that gay people are worse than animals because gay animals don't have sex with these. Now, my dogs sniffed other dogs' butts before in the past.
Yeah, I think I've seen a male dog hump another male dog.
It happens, but his comments caused a firestorm. He blamed it on his religion. He gave a sorry, not sorry apology. He was like, yeah, you're still kind of going to hell, but I didn't mean to say that you're animals, but you're going to hell. Basically is what he's saying.
Exactly.
Manny needs to get the hell out of boxing.
Well, he needs to continue boxing to get the checks.
No, he doesn't.
He needs those checks.
No, he doesn't.
Don't come forever.
But here's my thing.
If he wins, especially, I think he continues.
No, he doesn't continue. And I'm gonna explain to you why. A couple of years ago, I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Ryan Moore, who directed the Manny documentary. We had this long conversation about just Manny's career and stuff he left out of the documentary. Well, everybody knows about the spiritual awakening that Manny had, right? But if you kind of parallel that to where his career went, the moment he gave himself to God because of Jinky, because he was a womanizer, a gambler, and everything else he was doing, is the moment that he's changed forever in boxing. He hasn't knocked anybody else since. The night that he converted over was the night that the third fight with Marquez. That was the night that everything just kind of fell into place. There's a lot of footage in the documentary that we'll never get to see that he has. Once he started this religious trek and started to be about for the people, Manny, he was never really a fighter anymore. The killer instinct's gone. He lost that. The version of Manny who knocked out Ricky Hatton and knocked out Miguel Cotto would have gave Floyd Mayweather trouble. But ever since that, he's just not been the same guy. So him fighting, he's kind of doing it arbitrarily for people. And the more he opens his mouth because he wants to be a politician, the more he's going to put his foot in it. Because you can't say stuff like that.
No, I mean, he's like Trump with boxing gloves.
Yeah, but just be a politician. Be a politician for the Philippines. Go for your Senate seat. Get out of the sport. Because the people who loved you that Manny Pacquiao. Nobody really likes this Manny Pacquiao.
I don't know. I mean, he wouldn't be doing it if people didn't like this Manny Pacquiao.
I mean, his pay-per-views aren't selling. His fights aren't as exciting.
Well, people don't like the fighter Manny Pacquiao now because he's not knocking people out. But I'm pretty sure people love the humanitarian Manny Pacquiao. It might get him more votes.
I mean, but now he said this.
Yeah, I mean, in the Philippines, I'm not sure. He backed it up with religion. So, I mean.
But there's people
it
that
is what the, it is. The people are one... voting for Trump, by the way. So I mean, people love this type of shit.
Hey, we get what we deserve as Americans. If we get Trump, that's what we deserve. But with Manny,
God, don't wish us.
I don't. I'm just saying, America's we're a reality television country. This could possibly happen. But with Manny, it's like the number one comedian in the Philippines is gay.
Is he?
Yes. 6.7 million followers on Twitter went and destroyed Manny on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, what are you doing? Like you can't be a humanitarian saying homosexuals are animals because there's gay people everywhere. There's definitely gay people in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah.
So what? And like now you lost your Nike deal. That's what I'm saying. The fight business just ain't for you anymore. Get out.
But he's been saying this for quite some time. People act like it's a revelation. Like, yeah, he's been feeling this way for a long time. And it was hit, you know, a good majority of time in the Floyd conversations because people want to paint Floyd as the, I guess, you know, the bad guy in that situation. Right. But Manny wasn't, you know, the greatest of guys. He's had these feelings. He's spoken aloud about these feelings. He never hid these.
No.
He's, you know, by the book, you know, quote unquote. He follows the Bible. He doesn't, you know, approve of gay marriage and such. So it's nothing new.
Look, I don't want to go too deep into religion because it's just not. This isn't the podcast.
It's not the podcast.
Yeah,
for
it's not the podcast. But correct. Being a conservative Christian leads you to say stupid shit like this. Because you say that you're going by
you
the.
You said you were a conservative Christian.
Who?
I thought you were just saying
that. Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, I was about to say.
Like, we're not going
to
talk about my religious views. It's not necessary here. But. When you try to use the word of God to justify, because there's so many things that are contradictory in the Bible without going too deep into it, and homosexuality is like, all right, stop pinning all your stuff. Maybe you just don't like gay people.
But yeah.
Don't God. You're not God. You're not gonna be judging these people at the end of the day. And by you doing that, you're an idiot. So just shut up, Manny. Just shut up. Shut up. Now I'm like, hopefully you just go and take this L to Tim Bradley.
I was about to say, but now this is another huge distraction in his training for the Bradley fight.
He'll forget about it.
I might end up taking a Bradley knockout, like, at this point, because Manny's mind is just elsewhere.
He's always elsewhere. Manny's always got a billion people around him and things going on. I'm not really, like, by the time April rolls around, this isn't even going to be talked about anymore. Until the Deadspin article comes out that says Manny's a piece of shit. That, I guarantee you, is coming.
Deadspin's always on it.
Always.
They're going to find, like, some crazy dirt. So, we just had boxing. We were both at the PBC on FS1 card.
Yeah.
With Mayweather Promotions. That was dope. We have more boxing coming up here. We're actually going, by the time people hear this, we would have been at the
Porter's
Porter.
Yeah
workout Trump, yeah. Tomorrow. So
yeah, talking about
that's gonna be dope.
Yeah. I mean,
are you not hype about this yet? It's March 12th.
It's weird.
It's in Connecticut, but
I'm not hype about, like, I won't be
Thurman Porter is one of the biggest fights of the year, right?
I agree, but it's not being promoted like that. And that's therein lies my problem with this fight. This fight should be much bigger than what it is. In Connecticut? Like, Connecticut?
What,
like,
Connecticut?
Come on, man. It's like, the build for the fight just hasn't been there for a fight of this magnitude. Like, they haven't been doing enough to promote this fight. And when the fight happens, I'm going to be like, yeah, great. As a fight fan, I'm going to love it. But I feel like they should have blown it out with the promotion for this fight. And they haven't. It's just kind of there. Another PBC fight to me.
Yeah. PBC has so many fights. It's hard to just blow something up. You know, it's not pay-per-view. Obviously, it's hard to make a spectacle of these things when they're on twice a week.
Right.
But this is one of the greatest fights of the year, on paper at least. And these two guys should deliver. Porter looked in great shape when we saw him.
Yeah, but he always does.
Yeah, he's, you know, stays relatively good. Thurman is Thurman. We'll see if the old one time comes out and goes for the knockout. And there's so many different variables in this fight. We'll break it down further, you know, in the coming weeks, but... Man, it's hard to not be hype already. I don't hear any buzz. Glasses hasn't hit me up talking trash yet. That's how I know the fight isn't, like, real.
It's really not there. But we'll talk about it in the coming weeks. So let's talk about Fastlane.
WWE Fastlane
is right around the corner.
Fastlane's coming up. The card is weird. So we have the U.S. title being defended on the pre-show.
Uh-huh.
Two out of three falls fight.
Yep.
We record this podcast on a Wednesday.
Yes.
Tonight, as soon as we're done with this podcast, I go home and I watch NXT. Tonight's NXT is Samoa Joe versus Sami Zayn, two out of three falls.
Much better match.
Just put that shit on the pre-show. Yeah. That's, just replay it. I'll watch it twice rather than watching Kalisto versus Del Rio.
I mean, all right. I want to go back for a minute because Like, Raw must have knew that the Grammys was on, because Raw...
they just took the L.
Yeah, because they just didn't care. Like, it's like the go-home show would be on SmackDown. To have your main event and have Braun Strowman and Big Show, it just kind of, you just was like, ah, fuck it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Titans against the Wyatt family. Like, this is stupid. Like, this is the six-man tag match at Fastlane. Who cares? If the Wyatts don't go over, it'd be the dumbest thing in the world.
Even though the Big Show Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast was pretty good.
I haven't even watched it yet.
It's not bad.
Because like, I don't care about the Big Show.
No one cares about the Big Show, but it was pretty decent.
I'm going to have to watch it. I haven't had a chance. Like, there's a lot of stuff I haven't watched yet. I'm trying to catch up. But, like, looking at the Fastlane card, with Dean Ambrose losing his title, it felt like it was necessary for maybe to make people think that he could win the heavyweight title.
And then, but what if he could?
But part of me says, like, if he does, it'd be great, but then it blows up everything that they've built up for the past few months.
Yeah, but what have they built up? They have to build so much already in the next 4 weeks. Because the only thing they have built in concrete is Triple H versus Roman Reigns.
That's what I'm saying. If Dean wins, then what?
So it's only blowing up one thing, though, right? Because there's nothing else solidified.
It's the only program that you focus so much energy on.
So now Kevin Owens is champ. Do you think him and Ziggler go against each other for the belt?
At Mania? Hell no.
No, right? So they're starting a new narrative. So my mind thinks AJ Styles. So now it's like everything is being reshuffled.
Yeah.
So why not do it with your main event? And I'm not saying that you can't have Roman versus Triple H, but they just invested, is it a triple threat?
They invested two. Like, okay. They have a bunch of scenarios in my head. One of them is that Brock Lesnar wins, gets the match against Triple H. Somehow.
That's a great main event.
Somehow, Ambrose and Reigns have to fight each other at WrestleMania to be the third man in the triple threat.
Ooh.
Because if Ambrose loses this match, he's kind of shifted to the back of the pile. Reigns versus Triple H is like, whatever. And Ambrose doesn't really have a feud to jump into.
Yeah.
But it feels like with everything that they've worked on, you got to kind of have, if Ambrose and Reigns don't blow up now, they need to blow up at Mania.
True. I mean, Ambrose been gaining some steam, though. He's been carrying
it. It makes you think, like, if Ambrose were to win, you'd be like, oh, great. Because then the other thing is, what if Ambrose wins to get Triple H, and then you go Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, to see who gets into the triple threat match? I've seen so many ways that this could be a triple threat, because I don't want Ambrose.
If Lesnar loses, he's going against Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, well that's, I think that's
the only way he loses.
But I think that's how it's going to happen. Because they've been doing this Titan narrative, and Brock Lesnar's the biggest Titan in wrestling. So
exactly.
I figure,
like, lights out.
Yeah.
They interfere, take out Lesnar, and it's Roman versus Ambrose one-on-one.
I mean, I just hate that if Ambrose loses, he's the odd man out, because he's built so much momentum again. He does this all the time. They get him right to the top, like when he lost the Royal Rumble. When he there was another match where he should have won the title.
When was the last time we saw a double pin? Like one arm across each other's chest.
I don't know. Maybe we'll get
that. I need that. Because then both are number one contenders versus Triple H. Set up to triple threat.
Yeah, because somehow Ambrose has to be involved in this. He's built up way too much momentum. Triple H and Roman is the angle that you've worked on for at least 5 months.
Yeah.
So you can't blow it up. But you can't leave Ambrose out in the dark. It's the only thing I really care about with this pay-per-view now. Because I'm looking at the rest of the card and I'm like, I don't care. Charlotte and Brie Bella, Brie should win.
Brie's going to retire.
Yeah, she's going to not retire with the belt. So Charlotte's going to beat Brie.
Yeah.
Brie's going to retire. Go home, make babies with Daniel Bryan.
Cool.
Great.
Get out of here.
Owens and Ziggler. Owens should win. It should be a good match. It's weird that Ziggler's all of a sudden in the Intercontinental picture when they just kind of took
him off
TV.
He's been, upsetting Owens. Whatever. He's not winning that. Like you said, the six-man tag. Ryback, Big Show, Kane versus the Wyatts.
Big deal.
Squash
if the Wyatts don't win, I don't understand.
Styles Jericho has some good potential.
Yeah, you know what? It feels
they've been working really well together.
This is how I feel about AJ Styles, Chris Jericho. I feel like they had their first match on Raw and they went back and was like, "We got to do it again."
Yeah,
because it was like it was good, but it's our first times working with each other. It's like we can have this like 5-star match, a 4-star, and Vince was like, "All right, go ahead, do it again." And that's how it worked out.
It's like, go ahead, you have SmackDown.
Yeah, just do it again. And now that Chris Jericho won one and AJ won one, I'm looking forward to the match. I think it's going to be much better than both of the matches that they've had.
Oh, I think so. I'm not a huge fan of old man Chris Jericho, but he can still work when he
it's
has
funny.
To work.
Old man Chris Jericho still has the personality of young man Chris Jericho.
He does. He just doesn't
the same
have the
jokes.
Look, though.
Yeah, he just.
It's just less believable.
Yeah, he looks ridiculous sometimes.
You know what really bothers me? Is that he does just a Boston Crab now. and not the Lion Tamer.
Yeah, it's not like the knee in the
knee
back.
Knee in the back of the head, like cranking it back. Like, it's you got to bring that back.
It's just a crab.
Yeah,
it's
nah.
It's not taming anything. It's taming the crab.
Exactly. Like, don't be an old man. Like, put in 100% effort. Do the Lion Tamer. That's probably going to be the best match of the night.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, right? The Lesnar Reigns Ambrose match could be very good.
I don't know.
If the Wyatts get involved too early, it'll suck. But if Ambrose
is going to go through some shit, and you know, Brock's just going to F5 him through a table.
I mean, Brock should be killing everybody in this match until the Wyatts come out. It's like inevitable that we're going to see Bray Wyatt in this match. It's like,
yeah, because he's not booked for anything.
No, he's just kind of there,
and we don't even get the New Day,
which is another weird thing. Like, how do you not have the New Day, especially with the Dudleys
or
going
the Dudleys?
Heel? And like, we get this crazy Dudleys versus Ambrose and Reigns match on SmackDown, but nothing in the pay-per-view? Weird booking WWE. It just
unless the Dudleys attack the New Day during their pre-show segment.
Oh, with the high, what is it called? The peep show, cutting edge peep show? What the hell they call it with Edge and Christian?
Edge and Christian? Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
so, I mean, that could set up the WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
Which I still think I predicted, right? Four-way TLC match.
I don't think it'll be a four-way.
Four-way. Lucha Dragons, because they go through some shit. The Usos, the Dudleys.
Sin Cara's going to be hurt again. Like, I don't think he doesn't make it to Mania, dude.
Yeah, he does.
I don't think. I mean, if he does, he gets there like, which one was it? Jey Uso did last year. He like kind of walked
hobbling
out there. And they threw him through some shit, and he was like, ah, he's hurt. But he was already hurt, and he was like, all right, bye.
That's all he needs to do. That's it.
I don't know if they do it a three-way. I mean, I guess you got to get the belt off the Kalisto. Like, I feel like the United States title is like an arbitrary title they just need to get rid of as a whole.
Because that's AJ Styles' title.
Nah, AJ's going to get the Intercontinental title. It just feels like if
they
Cena's...
They give Ziggler the... There's plenty of people... Like, now, there's so much talent that you have to have that many titles. Because
yeah,
there's legit people who can actually carry shit once you get rid of people. Wade Barrett announced that he's going to leave. They're going to start trimming the fat.
I mean, all I'm saying with the United States title is ever since they took it off of Cena, they blew it. Like, that title's just been a piece of shit. Like, Alberto Del Rio and Kalisto, nobody cares about either of those guys right now. Nobody's carrying this title like they should.
No. But
like, whoever gets it should have to do the open challenges.
That should be
the stipulation of the U.S. title is, like, you have to face any comer on any given night. Like, somebody's going to come fight you. Just deal with it.
Correct.
Del Rio with a title, doesn't matter. Kalisto with a title, it's like he can only fight like two matches before somebody kills him.
League of Nations about to be over anyway. Half of them are hurt. The other half is leaving.
They just look ridiculous. It was a great idea, and it just was like, it was great for Survivor Series.
Social Outcasts took their whole steam, and they're not even good.
Yeah.
Well, they're not even in the pay-per-view.
No, which is whatever. This whole pay-per-view is just like whatever. I'm going to watch it, but whatever. Speaking of like New Japan, we'll talk about New Japan real quick before we end our show.
We didn't talk about Triple H and the Cruiserweights.
Oh, yes, the 32-man Cruiserweight tournament.
That's interesting.
Very interesting.
I think he's going to get Ricochet. You do not have that much hope.
I don't think that they're going to pry Ricochet from Lucha. I don't think that. I think that contract is pretty tight with Prince Puma and Lucha Underground to not let him involve himself in this tournament. If they strike a deal, I would be happy. I would be elated to see him in the tournament. But then if they strike a deal, he has to win. I feel like there's no other way.
Because you got to sign a long term.
Yeah. So,
he has to lose, but he can lose, you know, to La Sombra in the finals.
It seems like La Sombra is inevitably going to be the man of this tournament. Maybe they'll find a way to get Zack Sabre Jr. involved.
Triple H has been heavy in Evolve lately, though.
Yeah, there's so much. I mean, a lot of the Evolve talents on PWG and everything. Like, these guys just kind of float around. But it's exciting, man.
I hope we see Cheeseburger. It's 32 people. You got to have Cheeseburger.
I mean, it's funny because he's like less than a cruiserweight. The guy's
like 110 pounds.
It's terrible. He's tiny. But I'm looking forward to it. We got this summer, the 32-man field. They're going to be pulling talent from everywhere. Maybe they do strike a deal with Lucha to get some of those guys. Because to see guys like Pentagon Jr., like, I would love to see all of them in there. Aerostar. It's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Do they bring back Seidel?
It's possible.
I mean, there's ties.
They're the tag team champions. Him and Ricochet are the tag team champions in New Japan. It's possible. Anything's possible.
It's going to be a great tournament.
Like, maybe they'll find ACH. I mean, there's so many things they could do with this year. Cedric Alexander, there's so many guys that they could put in this tournament.
Yo, it's going to be – 32 AJ, is a one hell of a field.
AJ Styles is like a cruiserweight when you look at him.
I mean, Finn is the champion. He's a cruiserweight. He's 185 pounds listed.
This is crazy. This could be a lot of fun. Speaking of New Japan, though, I haven't watched the second the New Beginnings, but I watched the first one. Okada and Goto was a great match. Okada goes over, of course.
Okada, of course, yeah. And we get to see him coming up next week.
Yes, against Moose. Against our man Moose, who hopefully we'll have on the show.
Hell of a match for Moose.
Yeah, sorry, Moose. We know Okada's going over because
he's
the champ.
Yeah, but it's all right.
But
step up for Moose.
Like, New Japan, you know, the cards that, like, reset everything. Kenny Omega's the Intercontinental champ, which is great for him.
We knew he had to take that, you know, after they lost AJ Styles and they lost Nakamura,
and they're
which is crazy.
Gallows and Anderson are on their way out. It should be showing up soon.
It's rough.
But they got guys like Shibata. They got guys like Ishii. They got – I mean, they still have a lot of talent. The tag team division is still fresh. It was funny. Red Dragon didn't take the pin again.
No, yeah.
Cody Hall kidnapped Kyle O'Reilly at the end of the match, which was insane.
Cody Hall's going to be a monster, man.
Oh, Cody Hall will be in NXT before the end of the year.
He is going to be a monster. That kid is a beast.
He's finally getting it on what he needs
and
to
I've
do.
I've seen that. Like, yeah. New Japan has to make the push, though. You got to keep him, right? Because he's super young.
They won't keep him. They won't be able to. He's the second.
The
like,
Triple H connection. Yeah.
He's Scott Hall's son. There's no way that Cody Hall stays in New Japan.
Right now, before Triple H even like gets in his ear, you got to keep him. Because he has the build. He has the size. Yeah. He has everything you need to be that next huge star.
Yeah, and he's learning. He's learning on the job.
That's one of the cases where you got to push him early.
Nah, you got to build him. Because he's just now getting it. Like, you look at him. You don't want
to
push
him
too soon.
Keep him. You got
to
push him early.
Nah, you don't. You know, I mean, because you're not going to keep
Triple
him.
Triple H shaking him that. Like, yeah, is
like
that
you're not
going
to keep him. Like, he needs to be developed. Like, he's still
he's
very
everything
raw.
They want Baron Corbin to be.
Yeah, but he's still very green and raw. NXT, you could take that chance. You can bury him underneath a lot of guys, and you'd be like, all right, you got to learn because you're going to end up getting in the big leagues. New Japan is a little bit different because it's really style over substance.
Yeah,
it's all about style and how good these guys are on the ring. He's not quite there yet, so he's got a lot of work to do. But it's fun to watch him. Like, he's learned. He's like the base in like a lot of aerial matches. Like Cody Hall gets it. He's finally getting it. He looks like the lumbering idiot sometimes when he gets it. The rest of the card was, you know, the rest of New Japan was good. I mean, I love the Shibata Ishii match. It's probably a match that you wouldn't like.
No.
Two stiff guys beating the shit out of each other. piss out of it. Like, I love that match. It's just, you know, they're going to have to stop that soon because after Daniel Bryan retired with concussion, there's no way, like, Shibata and Ishii are not concussed, like, every match.
Every match.
It's insane. But, yeah.
The headbutts are just crazy.
I don't even know why you keep taking
these things. Wrestle Kingdom, like, they had a sequence where it was, like, 13 straight headbutts.
It's nuts.
And then the kicks were just like, who can kick each other hard?
Like, if you haven't watched New Beginning in a – what was it? New Beginning – I forgot where it was. Holy shit. Brain fart. But if you haven't watched it yet, just watch how these guys just slap the shit at each other. It's so stiff. I'm like, dude, how do you guys just do this to each other for like, 15 minutes? Crazy. What else we got to talk about? We got to cut this show short this week.
Yeah, before we get out of here, though, there's a UFC card.
Oh, yes, Cowboy versus Cowboy.
Yes, Cowboy versus Cowboy, UFC Pittsburgh. It's had its ups and downs. Though,
I mean, it lost Lineker, so is Cody Garbrandt still on the card?
Is on the card. He got a new opponent.
Somebody's just going to run over?
He's going against, I have the name right here, Augusto Mendez.
Somebody's going to run over.
Run over, but I really wanted him to get moved to 196.
Yeah.
Selfishly, because I wanted to see him.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, man. Like, looking at this card.
But we have Brunson.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, this card is.
Bermudez is always good. Yeah. Versus Calvary?
Yeah, I mean, he should win. I mean, all right, real quick. Cerrone should beat Oliveira. Brunson should beat. Well, that's a good fight.
Cerrone fight's not a gimme.
I mean, it's going to be a good fight.
Size matters. Like, that size difference is no joke.
This card, like, okay, whatever. I'm going to watch it, but I'm not expecting too much from this card. It's not going to be earth-shaking by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I'm going to watch it, and that should be cool. The biggest MMA event of the weekend.
Bellator! Old Man Invitational.
Yes. Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000.
I don't care who wins that fight. I just want to see them beat each other up. That's all
it's my guilty
about.
Pleasure right now. I'm not going to lie. Like, I can't wait to see this fight. Kimbo versus Dada. I think Dada's getting knocked out, sadly. But, like, I watched their, like, preview hype video. And I was like, yo, I'm going to watch this while I take a nap between riding. It kept me up. And I was awake. And I was like, damn, I'm into it. But, so they got me, man. Bellator got me. It was good production value.
They're kind of figuring it out. I mean, the Gracie Shamrock match is, like, 20 years too late, it feels like.
But oh, that's horrible.
It's like the Old Man Invitational. It's like, whoever loses, then what? Because if they don't retire, what do they do?
they fight. I don't know. Gracie wins. He fights.
I don't think Shamrock's gonna retire until he's dead.
Fights Kimbo, all right.
I think Shamrock needs to be forced out by a stroke.
Yo, he's gonna keep fighting people.
He's never gonna stop. Ken Shamrock cannot.
If Shamrock wins, I think he fights. It's
not
tough.
Kimbo again.
No, he can't fight Kimbo again. He got knocked out.
For that loose, real naked choke. That was horrible.
I don't know. There's a couple options for him, though. Shamrock is still, I mean, Tito's just lost.
Oh, my God.
He can fight Tito.
Oh, my God. I would puke.
Man, there's a couple options.
Shamrock
with a win can keep fighting. Shamrock with a loss, he got to hang it up.
Yeah, well, whatever. If Gracie wins, he's got to hang it up.
Who do you have? I need a prediction.
I'm just going to go with Hoist Gracie. Because Ken Shamrock couldn't choke out Kimbo Slice, and he had him in prime position, flattened out with his rear naked choke. Gracie should be able to tap him. He's old, but jujitsu's jujitsu.
Okay.
You know, if it was like a guy like Matt Hughes with ground and pound, like Ken Shamrock has nothing for him. So, whatever. Picking Kimbo to be Dada 5000. Kimbo's just much more seasoned. The Emmanuel Newton-Linton Vassell fight is interesting to me, but I think Linton's that guy right now. And I think I like Emmanuel. He was making up excuses for why he didn't win, but no, man.
Last fight was in the tournament, right?
Yeah, well, no.
What was the last fight?
Was it in a tournament?
Four-man tournament, right? Didn't he get hurt?
Bellator's like a blur. No, because Vassell beat Tito Ortiz. He mauled Tito. He just
destroyed him.
But they fought before, and that's how Vassell won is he beat.
I love that they list Kevin Ferguson versus Dafir Harris.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know who those two people are.
Yeah, and
Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000.
My guy Melvin Gillard is on Bellator. Fighting Derek Campos.
Melvin Gilliard is actually going to fight?
Melvin Gilliard's on the fight. Man, he can still fight. The kid can still throw hands. Just never got his ground game together, but
I didn't know he could make weight anymore.
Oh, well, whatever. But, yeah, I'm going to watch this train wreck. Yeah.
We're all going to watch this train wreck.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Because that's the beauty of it. They keep getting us, and we can't help it.
Why not? The production value will be good. It's on Spike TV. I'm here. As long as it wasn't on pay-per-view, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm not paying anything for that on pay-per-view. But that's pretty much our week. Summed up real quick, short episode, because we were at Agenda and everything this week. It's kind of a busy week. Boxing yesterday, Agenda fashion stuff today.
Yeah.
And, you know, gearing up for next week.
Yeah.
And getting ready for the Red Panty Night.
And the road to WrestleMania it starts after this, too. The true road to WrestleMania.
That's going to be crazy. We got to set something up for WrestleMania weekend so we get, you know, in touch with the fans and everything.
I'm already. I'll tell you about it after the show. I've already talked to Joe. I've already talked about podcasts. Yeah.
It's on. We're in there, baby. We're moving up in the ranks. So thank you guys for listening to us. Short show this week, but we'll be back again next week. Some guests in tow for next week. Make sure you guys fill out the survey. Everything else, thank you for those who have filled out the survey to get us some sponsors. Last week was our best episode yet.
Yeah, a lot of people listened. Thank you for listening to us. I don't know why you listen to us sometimes, but thanks. We appreciate it.
Crunch the numbers. We are one of the best boxing and MMA podcast in the world.
It's hard to believe, but okay.
It's crazy, right? People love us. So you know where you can follow us on social media, at the corner LSN on everything. I'm at Kel Dansby on everything.
And I'm at Andreas Hill on everything.
Until next week, we're out.
Peace. I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.